Hello there, I'm Tim and he's John, and this is episode 93 of the Van Hemlock Podcast. Hello.
We're back with another What We're Playing show.
Indeed.
I was actually going to do a new show this week.
Yeah?
Yeah, because there's been some great news, but I...
Yeah, the week you decided just to give up and not do the new show, it suddenly all goes a bit mad.
But I basically came down to the fact that the news that had happened is this.
Yes?
Two guys got him fired from Infinity Ward.
Shocking.
Don't really have much to say. Go to g4tv.com and have the full story. The PS3 went down.
There's rather a large crash there.
Yes, for 24 hours.
Mm.
Incompetent programming.
Something to do with leap years.
Yes. Totally inexcusable. If it had been your TV, then there'd been a lot more fuss.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone who's justifying it saying, oh, it was only down for 24 hours, shut up. Portal 2 is announced.
Yeah.
And Valve-like... putting it on the Mac before they put it on the PS3, so
right.
Don't know what that means.
Mm.
So yes, that's all the news.
That was the news.
I can't be asked to actually do any more because I don't feel I've got anything else to add.
Right. Okay. Shall we talk about what we've been playing then instead?
Yes.
Okay.
Why don't you start?
Well, I shall start with Lord of the Rings. We've gotten started on the latest expansion, which is remarkable. Yep.
When that happened?
Yeah, all the Mirkwood stuff. We went across the river and did the old Saving Private Ryan beachhead and.
Oh yeah,
about
we did,
the forest,
didn't we?
Killing quite a lot of orcs and quite a lot of spiky wooden fortresses, you know, usual sort of thing. Yeah, it was all right. It's a good introduction, good warm up to the area. I think it is a little bit more of the same, to be honest. But then, if you're still playing by the time you've reached level 65 or 60, I think you're probably okay with killing orcs.
By a little bit of the same, do you mean an MMO?
Well, yes, I suppose there is that. You're going to cure me of this MMO thing one of these days, aren't you? I was particularly enjoyed the solo instance at the very end, which we were going six up towards through all those forward
bits. Putting in solo instances. We have to break the group and then we all have to figure out what's going on. And everyone's spoiling what happens next in the mission because everyone's like, arg, 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 not this. And half the time they're making that up.
6 feet, yes. I do apologise for shouting, wind out for the dragon. That seemed to put quite a few people off their stride a bit.
I wasn't sure how many trolls were coming.
It was fascinating seeing the death penalty bars when we reassembled at the other end. I got through without dying, but then I am the tank and had specced my legendary weapons quite considerably into the self-heal thing, so quite survivable these days, so I was pleased there.
I was regretting having specced down to light armour.
I see. You need the secondary set of medium stuff, I suppose.
I think so. Mm. I was a bit more squishy, and it usually doesn't matter in a group now,
yeah.
But solo, it matters.
Yeah, so we crashed through all that, got the foreword stuff out of the way, and we're on to chapter one of book of chapter volume I lose track. I've got four of them on the go in my log now, and it seems
four.
Yeah, it seems
1, 2, and 3.
No, well, we got the remainder of the Even Dim Volume 1 stuff.
Yeah.
Full Shadows of Angmar-y stuff, where it all got boring and sent us
which
up
has now been patched to make it soloable.
Yeah, I popped in earlier today, actually. I didn't really see any of this stuff myself, but we'll have to have a look, see if we can knock
we
some
can,
of that stuff on
the head.
We
get together as a group and do it.
Six-man, this new solo content, yeah. Then there's one going on in Moria with the waterworks, I think I'm out there. Then it lets you jump in again at the entrance of Lothlorien. And now there's a new bit on the Mirkwood. So there's like four different sections of the same supposedly linear story, and it's really giving my OCD some trouble. But then we went and did the Grand Stairs again, didn't we?
We always do the Grand Stairs.
We do the Grand Stairs quite a lot now.
We tried it on hard mode.
Yeah, we tried
to start hard mode.
Yes, yeah. I think we were only about a minute or two out from triggering the more difficult bit. But
I think you're being optimistic.
I think next time we go in there, we're going to give it that proper go.
Uh-huh.
It's all to do with what path you take through the place and how long you take to do it. And if you can tag, I think it's Nardur on the stairs near the end there, without having to wait for the drawbridge on the top to come down. It's all very complicated, but I think we managed to... Well, we stuffed it up, basically, didn't we? But we carried on, and we got to the end, and we killed the boss, and we got our usual quota of tokens, and all gearing up for lots more of the tradable armor set stuff there, which is good. I think I only need one more bit.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. It's got quite a lot of tokens. We've been in there quite a bit. I'd like to see some of the other ones, though. 16th Hall,
I think we should do them all.
Well, there's class quests for people who aren't hunters in there.
Hello.
Yeah, exactly. I know, I've got.
And you know the most galling thing about that?
Yeah.
I can say what we want because the hunter's not going to hear it because he's gone off to the other side of the planet
for
3 weeks.
Disappeared on holiday for several weeks. I think we ought to probably go and have a look at some of our other class quests, yes. That lots of pottering about there. The new expansion, latest update, big episode thing in at the moment. I had to go through a massive patch today. It took about 20 minutes.
Does that add another episode?
Yeah, I think, I don't know, is it Volume 3, Book 1?
Oh, yeah, probably is, actually, isn't it?
I don't know. I'm not sure, but there's all sorts of new stuff going in there, which I've yet to have a proper look at, so I'm afraid I'm unable to report about them. That was all good stuff. But yes, remember to get your patching done before tomorrow night.
I'll have to do that tonight. Yeah. And everyone else in the group, remember to do it, even though you probably won't hear this.
You probably won't hear this until afterwards. Excellent.
If at all.
Marvellous. So, still going with Guild Wars. Did some more PvP. There's some very tense matches this week. Two 28-minute matches. Well, I think they were just 1 minute or two short of going to basically the end of the timeout, which is fantastic because it means that, you know, the teams are fairly arbitrarily assigned, and it means everyone's still managing to work together pretty well and they're understanding their class and their roles. I was trying as a ritualist this week. Normally I'm a mesmer.
Ooh.
Oh yeah, it was an absolute nightmare of trying to push forward and deploy spirits and sort of take ground inch by inch this fight. That's why it lasted about 25 minutes. Of course, casting rituals, the bringing the spirits out of the ground, has a very long casting time, which the enemy ranger was using to his advantage quite a lot, shooting me halfway through with interrupts. Very, very annoying.
Don't blame him.
Yeah, so the second match I tried to have a go at drop. I think it's Grasping was Kurong, basically the ritualist ones where you summon urns of ashes. And you can drop those for an effect, and I picked the one that knocks people down. And then an Earthbind spirit, which you put nearby, and that means that anyone who's knocked down stays knocked down for 3 seconds. So that was annoying everyone quite extensively there, which is jolly good. You know, I honestly can't remember who won either match.
It wasn't you.
I don't know if it could have been one. It could have been either way. I think it might have been one each, but they just went on so long and were so sort of intense and quite hard work that we didn't really get time for more than two matches that night. But it was good. Very, very hard fighting. Very, very satisfying wins and very respectable losses as well. Everyone seemed to be doing their stuff well, learning well, etc. It's all good. Not sure where we are with the PvE at the moment. I think we're still helping people through various bits of campaigns they've not done yet. I think we had a go at the gates of D'Alessio's Seaboard, I think, was the Zeishan mission we had to go at. Totally overpowering it. It's designed for, like, party of six level 14s or something, so we went in there with six level 20s. And still, man, we did it in hard mode, that's right, yeah. You flick the switch, suddenly everything's level 24 plus. It's
hard mode is the thing that you always complain about people doing.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I feel like we ought to be doing it all the time now because most of us are basically, you know, veterans of the game. We've been playing quite a long time and we've all got characters that are pretty well set up and know our roles. So we probably ought to be doing more of it, but it is quite hard mode, yeah. Particularly when there's things, I think there's a slight imperfection in the scaling of it all. You throw this switch and it cranks everyone's, all the monsters' levels up, gives them slightly better AI and gives them all elite skills. But sometimes in the missions there are green friendlies you need to protect or escort or whatever, and I'm not sure it's entirely scaling them up correctly in the same way that scaling the monsters up, so it becomes a real panic hit and miss move to try and get in and draw aggro off them if they're being attacked by these level 24 monsters that they weren't initially designed to be able to survive. So a lot of fun and games there. I think it took a couple of goes, but we got through it in the end, got our full quota of Zeishan coins. I really want that backpack. It's like 20 Zeishan gold coins or something, and you need like 5 silver ones to make a gold one and 50 copper ones to make a silver one. And it's yes, grindtastic basically. But
so what's so special about the backpack?
Well, the backpack lets you put items of weapons and armour in, basically. It's an extra bag on your inventory tab that you can put more stuff in.
The most valuable item in any MMO.
Inventory space, yes, absolutely. Especially when you're a hoarder like I am. My bank box is basically full, and that's an account-wide bank box. Yeah. I draw the line at buying extra tabs for dollars, though. That just seems like cheating. But if I can work on these coins, it's quite an interesting mechanic, the Zeishan missions. It just sort of keeps throwing up random missions every now and then that you may not have done for a while, but at the same time may never have had much incentive to go and see again. So it's good. I mean, if you're sort of casting about in there and can't really decide on what you want to do that night, that's always a good option. Effectively rolling a dice. So that's good stuff. Still going there. Not a lot of Eve over the last fortnight.
Shocking.
I know. I'm letting the side down, definitely. I don't know. It's that whole agony PvP weekend. It sort of spoiled the game quite a lot for me now, actually. I logged in and tried to... Last time I was playing seriously, we were off in some pocket of high sec in the middle of a low sec region.
Yes.
And I left a whole load of ships and stuff there last time and ended up... I don't know how I got back last time, but got a clone killed or something. But now I've got these jump clones, and now the plan is to try and get one of these jump clones across to where that stuff is, so that I can either put it back on the market and sell up, or retrieve some of it and bring it back into normal high sec space. Quite a hectic corridor of gate camping to get through there, though. So I've been sort of logging on and sort of looking at the map and thinking, no, that's clearly a gate camp. You know, you see this ship's killed in the last hour, huge orange bubble halfway along the thing, and you think, I don't think I can kind of try that. I'm in a shuttle, so I'm not quite sure what my chances would be trying to blast through it. But
you're not actually going into 0.0, are you?
No, it's all low sec.
So you'll be fine.
I suppose there's gate guns and there won't be bubbles. Yeah, but
no bubbles. You'll be fine. You'll just make it.
Yeah. But I don't know. I sort of set the autopilot from A to B, and then it's like 23 jumps later, I'd managed to watch an entire episode of Screen Wipe in another window, and I just got to the end. I thought, this is stupid, and I logged off and went and played something else.
Why were you using the autopilot?
I wasn't.
Bad, Tim.
I know, but even the warp to zero takes a while. It's just... yeah, I don't know. I want more immediacy and more action in from that game, I think, these days. But and there's a lot of travel to getting around that. It's a big old universe. Distance means stuff. But, yeah, a bit of lack of motivation. But we'll come back to this in the Twitter question.
Yep.
I'm sure everyone was wondering what the hell I was even on about this week.
At least one person was, yes.
We'll come back to that, yeah. I think the game of the week this week, the game of the fortnight for me, has been DDO, actually. We had some fantastic fun in there.
Don't
over the last
you.
2 weeks, and my ranger, my arcane archer, with the irredeemable waifs guild there.
And this is Lesser the failing Kinsley. Game, DDO.
Well, I don't know. Believe what you like, read what you like.
Did you see the numbers?
No.
They've got over 1 million accounts now.
Yeah. Oh,
which right. doesn't mean anything.
I think some people on chat were talking about that.
Matt, that doesn't mean anything because, you know, well, people just logged in. But they've doubled their number of subscribers.
As a result of going free to play. That's that is working. That's actually worked.
Yeah.
It basically means people have gone in on the free to play, tried some stuff, played a lot for free, bought a few modules, eventually reached the conclusion that actually I might as well be subbed, then I can get all this for free.
The sub is the barrier to entry. You want to get everyone in your game to have a look. Anyone who says differently is wrong.
Well, it shows that people will sub as a result of what's effectively an endless free trial.
You need to have an endless free trial. It's the only thing you can take away from this.
Yeah. I imagine purchases on the Turbine coins are up.
It's up
amounts.
A stupidly high percentage.
Yeah, excellent. Well, we've been doing free stuff over the last 2 weeks. Just to show that you can still play for
this
free.
This is the free stuff you got to after going through some of the pay stuff.
I think if we'd have looked around a bit more meticulously, we could have gone all the way up free. I mean, there'd be a lot less choice, and we have enjoyed the stuff we've bought, but there's still free stuff in there for the weeks when you don't want to keep forking out the money. Let's see, I can't even remember the names. There was one in the big jungle ruin with lots of ogres and minotaurs about the place, traps everywhere. It was very Indiana Jones, actually, that one. A lot of indoor instances that you go in through the whirlies to find the loot and the monsters that you need to kill. I really do like the outdoor areas, to be honest, as my ranger. Well, as long as you turn the draw distance up all the way you can in the options, anything you can see, you can hit with a bow.
Okay.
The bow doesn't seem to have a maximum range. As long as the object's rendering, you can shoot at it. And that tends to make me somewhat unpopular in the group. Particularly with our melee paladin, who gets quite competitive about the kill board at the end of the mission. But I'm managing to... Sometimes I can shoot stuff that doesn't even know I'm there. It won't aggro. I'm so far away. Yeah, I know. I try not to do it. And generally the melee folk run in anyway. But I wonder, I am an R about it. But then we had one called Stormcleave, which was a big sort of lava-y canyons and everything. It's very good. And I was managing to shoot stuff from the other side of the ravine, and no one else could get at it, and I was getting told off for that as well. and there's one section where we have to cross this ravine, camp of of trolls or ogres or something on the far side. And Torak has this ability, some sort of mechanical dog. So it's like Iron Guardian thing. I think it's to do with him being a trap specialist or a mechanic-y type or whatever. And he summons this dog as a sort of helper-outer. And it has a fantastic special attack, which basically vomits up motor oil in a big puddle around it. This is effectively the grease spell from D&D. And anything moving across it falls over or slides about, and which is usually a lot of hilarity in any situation. But we were crossing this rather narrow pillar at the time, and a bunch of, I think I might have accidentally set them off, bunch of monsters come running at us across the pillar. The dog jumps in, dumps his oil on the floor, and I think the paladin and Torak himself both slid off the side of the pillar into the bottom of the ravine, and there was all sorts of hilarity. I think they've got a bit of a telling off for that. It's all
slapstick
fun. Yes, it's this is why I play these games. It's those comedy moments. Then we did, this week, we did one called Tempest Spine, which is a 12-man raid.
Ooh.
Yeah, well, I suppose technically anything bigger than one party is what you'd call a raid. It was a massive, massive dungeon, sort of takes place on basically the entire outside and a lot of the inside of this great big mountain. I forgot even why we were going in there, to be honest, to try and deal with some sorcerer giant type who turned out to be the boss at the very top on the pinnacle of the mountain, who had a purple name. I'd never seen that before. It was terrifying. Very big boss, yes. Quite hard work getting through this dungeon. So you got to scout your way around the mountain. There's lots of fire elementals, which gave me trouble because my particular damage types weren't doing a lot to those. And then there was a supporting cast of all sorts of very nasty and surprisingly resilient drow, the old dark elves there, Boohiss, working their way through all the insides.
Were they all
of
a bit emo?
Yeah, probably, but they were quite feisty with it, so we had to cleave our way through all of those. Particularly the drow blackguards. They just took so much beating and was all like running around like crazy. And I should add at this
point, these were actually evil drow.
Evil drow, yes.
There's no such thing.
They're not renegades, no.
No, I thought every drow was a renegade.
They're proud of their heritage, yes. Wow. I know, it's such an unusual thing. We cleaved our way through all of that. There was a section where we had to swim through a ridiculously long underwater passage, and luckily with no one drowned because we all knew it was coming, and had the special space helmet bubble spell, which is very cool.
I know,
it's a water breathing spell.
It's only going to give you
like
a couple of breaths.
Looks like a goldfish bowl, yeah.
You're just going to get a certain amount of carbon dioxide and die.
I think probably a wizard did it. Then there was this section where there was some bonus loot, and this was really insane. I should add at this point we had 9 people, and it's designed for 12. one or two of us didn't quite make the level requirement for this week's adventure, and there was a couple of absentees as well. Teppo and Asgar couldn't make it. But we'll be doing it again next week, so this time on hard.
this time we're feeling.
Yeah, well, there's a section where you have this force field, and the force field will only go down if you kill 2 bosses simultaneously who are at different sections of the dungeon. So that involved splitting the team up and then a ridiculous amount of faffing about as we tried to get the coordination going. Alright, now kill it. I can't, it's trying to kill me. It was just terrible.
Coordination, the hardest thing to get in MMOs.
Oh, absolutely. It's quite ingenious. You've got to basically split your team into 2 teams of 6 and go off into 2 separate side warrens, and one of them's an ice monster and one of them's a fire monster. And as long as they die at the same time, the force field goes down, you can help yourself to the
goodies. Is everyone ready? No, I'm back at the bank.
We tried a number of different approaches to that. One of them involved me on my own sneaking across to try and plink the ice monster with my arrow and then train it back onto the other team while they were killing the thing.
Had they thought of that?
Suffice to say the timing didn't work quite as well as we'd hoped. In the end, the best plan that we came up with was basically both of us literally split half into the team and then just charge down each end and just wail on the stuff until you hope you got it right. And we did it. We got it through. It was quite a few wipes there, though. I think it was a whole total team wipe trying to sort that mess out at that one point. Anyway, more of that. There was Beholders. I've finally seen a Beholder in this game. Oh, brilliant. Yeah, they went down really quickly. I don't know what it is. I think it's something
They're about... mostly eyes. Eyes hurt if you stab them.
Big finger in the front, yeah. I was worried about those. I thought they were going to just annihilate the whole party with a range of extremely powerful spells. But no, we just charged in, wallop, gone. I think Torag must have backstabbed him or something, which is a neat trick considering, as you say, it's mostly an eye.
Yeah.
Yeah, more rummaging around inside. There's, I think, there's a couple of sub-lieutenant giants that were very hard work. And then the end encounter. We finally got sort of circle your way in and out of this mountain until you end up on the very top. And the top is this big sort of amphitheatre with this very, very big giant on there with a purple name, which suggests that he's some kind of real badass. And I'm trying to remember the sequence and how it worked. Right, first of all, you have to run in there, and on the floor is a massive block tile puzzle. I don't know if you've ever played DDO, but sometimes they throw these puzzles in where you basically have a glowing line that runs around this grid of squares, and you have to rotate the... It's Pipe Mania, basically.
Okay.
Yeah. So right. You've got this massive Pipe Mania grid on the floor, and you have to light up 4 points... 3 points across from this other point. All the time, this massive giant is stomping on people and throwing people around and bellowing and shooting people with a bow that fires spears. And yeah, is this now the time for a logic puzzle? I don't think so. But anyway, we managed to divvy up the responsibility. Most of the people running around going, ah, while me and Zozo there tried to riddle our way through this massive Pipe Mania thing. And it didn't help the pair of us kept flipping the same tile at the same time. No, not that one. I'm using that one. So yeah. Then once that's done and all the four of these points are lit up, then Torak has to run in and drop one rune in each jug. There's like urns on each one, and if you put a rune in each one, that helps somehow, for some reason. I think he's invulnerable until you do that. And then you can start wailing on the giant. Of course, the giant has a number of very devastating spells, some of which totally enshroud the mountaintop in very thick fog, so you can't actually see anything, which was a problem for me as a ranger. I kept plinking at him, and it just kept going, concealed, concealed, concealed. Someone do something about this bloody fog. It was mental.
Your arrows won't penetrate fog.
No, I couldn't see them properly, so I was missing. I think that was what's, uh-huh. what was going on. I could actually see.
Really, really big giant.
I know.
Odds are you are hitting.
he's not going to be a ninja. He's doing lightning damage as a fairly standard attack, and that really hurts. And also he has this great special ability that just starts sliding you towards the edge of the mountaintop, starts punting you off. And yes, just before he went down, I got kicked off the side of the mountain, fell about 1,000 feet and took 11 damage. So I think I must have slay fall or slow fall or something, tumbling, I don't know. But and that was great because I survived. I thought, okay, I'll be right back up. You know, 10 minutes of working in and out of instances to get back to where the fight is. And then I burned to death on some lava when I bollocked up a jump near the very base. So I was dead, but the monster died as well, the big giant lord. We did it. I was very impressed. Well, yeah, we're all level 7. Which is the minimum level for the instance anyway. This was on normal mode, but it is a 12-man raid, and we only had 9 people, I think 8 by the end, because various AFKs here and there. So I was very impressed with what we did, but I'd like to do it again, but properly, you know. So I think next week we might have another crack at it. It's very long, though. It does take quite a considerable amount of time. It took us, I don't know, we started at 8, and I think 1 o'clock we managed to finish it, so something, yeah, good 3 hours worth at least. But possibly quicker if you've got a full team. Quicker if you've got a bit more levels. I got a bow. I got a bow that fires fire arrows.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. +2 composite bow of flame or something.
So your bow makes your arrow go on fire.
Yeah. You know, in films when they light, they put the arrow on the pitch and look.
It's got a little bit of tape thing.
Yeah, it's like a napalm dispenser on the shaft, I think. Yeah, I don't know.
It's like the pilot light on a flamethrower.
Yeah, it's got a pilot light on the end. Yeah, very much like Aliens. I'm looking forward to using that for our next visit there. But I think we're going to be doing that one again soon, if next week, if not, then soon after that as well. Good fun. Did enjoy that. But yeah, as I say, we had a few people in our guild that missed it, and we're quite looking forward to that, so we will be doing it again. I really enjoyed it. I really did. I don't think I've done much in the way of multi-party raiding before. I've done, I think, Lower Black Rock Depths when it used to be a 10-man thing. I think I was in one of those, and that went really badly, and that was years ago. But no, this was great stuff. Under the supervision of Lesser and Kuznick there. who I think tag along with us just because we provide so much comedy slapstick value. These are both players who know what they're doing. Lesser's a regular contributor to DDO cast there, and also the DDO Cocktail Lounge. We'll put some notes in the show notes there, links and such like. Let's see, what else? Console? It's mostly Dragon Age. I've been having a go at that. on the old 360, borrowed it off of yourself. I'm not sure what to make of it so far. I don't know. It's because I've just come straight out of playing Mass Effect 1, and it doesn't seem to gel quite as much.
I know, that's
it's
what
not
I got.
Quite as good. The story isn't as tight. There's a lot of wandering around in the wilds.
There's comedy blood.
Comedy blood splatter's brilliant, yeah. For almost every dialogue section, it's like, splush. I don't know. I mean, it's a bit early to call any kind of real judgment on it, I think, for myself. I've started off as a mage. I've done my little origin thing, and I've done the big battle where everyone dies and it all goes to hell. And now we're on the pick one of four destinations to go and use a treaty and try and get some help sections. I went to the Redcliffe bit, and it all went a bit pear-shaped.
Which one was Redcliffe?
I think it's the good count who you need help with to deal with the bad count who killed the king, and is only the castle's gone mad and there's like a demon child there.
Oh yes, yes.
Yeah. So
yeah, that is the series of missions which really pissed me off about the game.
Yeah?
Yeah. Something happened in that which I didn't want to happen, and it just sort of made me do, which is nasty.
Spoiler alert. Okay, well, I've not quite got to that big decision yet myself, I don't think. But
no, there's no decision. It just happened. Oh, it was really annoying.
I tell you, I'm very impressed with the sheer amount of nasty dialogue options it presents you, as compared to Mass Effect or pretty much any other BioWare.
Whoever wrote the dialogue in that game was in a real bad mood
that
day.
Had a bad day, yeah. I mean, there'll be one generally optimistic and quite good and helpful option, and about five sarcastic and bitter responses of various severity. And of course the mage origin story basically made me pretty much badly indisposed to everyone and everything around me. The mages are appeasers and the chantry are fascists. I want to destroy this whole world.
I played a mage elf.
Yeah.
Everyone hated me.
Well, I'm a mage human, but everyone seems to treat me with fear and suspicion, so I thought, well, right then, I'll show you fear and suspicion. So basically my main plot motivation at this point is to defeat the Darkspawn so I can rule them and use them to destroy the world myself.
That's a pretty good plan, actually.
They all think I'm helping.
I bet that's the expansion.
Mm. Oh, talk about expansions. That was rather sneaky. The first time I end up in the party camp and there's a guy at the guy with the exclamation mark comes to talk to me. We need help reclaiming a Grey Warden base. Oh, right, okay, right, yeah, interesting. Tell me more. What? Download new content? Hello.
Yeah.
So, as you're sort of wandering merchants of expansions keep pestering me in my
camp. I think that's an experiment which should die there.
I should hope so, yeah. Talk about immersion breaking. But, I don't know, I like it.
The save system also bugged me.
Yeah, I've had to go back quite far after a few bullets.
I don't like games which don't auto-save because it's constantly breaking my immersion, having to remember to save.
Yeah, absolutely.
If I haven't saved, it means I'm really enjoying your game, thank you very much.
That is fascinating.
Stop punishing me.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're so engrossed in it that you don't realise it's a game and that you have to save the thing every 5 minutes, then surely it's doing something right and it shouldn't be punishing the player for getting involved.
Mass Effect 2 does it perfectly.
Yeah, it's a frequent autosaves.
Yeah.
The combat itself I'm finding really hit and miss. It's a bit of a micromanagement nightmare. I mean, I would prefer if the other party members could sort themselves out without my supervision, because I'm having enough trouble working the menus to deal with my own spells. I don't know if I'm missing something. Most of the smaller fights go all right, but the bigger fights with a yellow boss type one as part of the group, they tend to tend to be a bit hit and miss. It could go either way most times, and it could just be I've not got my characters with the right equipment, and I've knackered them by picking the wrong progression paths. I don't know. It just seems a little bit arbitrary, the combat in there. Bit micromanaging compared to Mass Effect or something, or even the old Baldur's Gate where you had the pause button and you can set orders going, that sort of thing. I don't know. I'm interested enough to want to finish it though, so we'll see how that goes. Perhaps it will grow on me. Perhaps this is just new skills that I'm not used to. I don't know. That's about it really for me. You want to talk some?
Is that all? No other games?
What do you mean no other games?
It's a remarkably short list. You only went on for half an hour.
Only half an hour.
Yeah. Right, what have I been playing?
Yes, tell us what you've been playing.
Should we start with MMOs?
Yeah, go on then.
I've been playing Eve.
My God, you've actually logged in. Oh, by playing, do you mean skill training?
I mean playing.
Playing?
Yes.
Ah.
I started a new character and everything.
Mm-hmm.
See, I decided to start a new character to have a little play around with the beginning of the game again, because...
Oh, they're always redoing the tutorial.
I know. Mm. Yeah, it's a new tutorial.
Yeah.
I don't know how long that one's been in there. Yeah. But also... I've got a character with, what, 90 million skill points, nearly.
Yeah.
And so I thought, I want to slum it. And it is literally, just listen to the pulp song, Common People, that is why.
Oh, yeah. Just a basic deep-seated innate arrogance on your part.
Exactly.
Fair enough.
Yes, and so I'm slumming it with the Common People to see how they succeed.
Okay, so what's life like with less than a million skill points?
It's quite fun, actually.
Quite fun.
I'm actually enjoying myself.
It all becomes a bit challenging again, does it? Stuff like Agent 1 missions you may not complete, that sort of thing.
Yeah, and I can't quite do this yet.
Yeah. Perhaps it's having an ambition again, having drive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm working through the tutorials at the moment. There's this career funnel now, which gives you five different agents to talk to who take you through, you know, combat training, advanced combat training, industry, exploration, and something
invention?
Else.
Don't know.
Wagon making, probably.
Yeah.
And the biggest problem with these is you get to a point in them. At one point, I was stuck because I needed to train Frigates 4.
That's a day or two for a new character, isn't it?
That's not that long. No, I needed to train Frigates 4, Industry, and Astrometrics at the same time to be able to continue on that three of them.
So much for your time bonus.
So I had lunch. it's quite good. The exploration tutorial in it is great. Although I do miss having all those skills for that.
Yeah, I remember when they first added it all, and me and you were both agreeing, oh, this is really noddy, it's really easy. And then I suppose it didn't really occur to us that we've all got fives in everything. We're doing it in a covert ops scanning ship. Yeah.
Yeah. When I was doing it in my Rifter, with no skills at all.
Blimey, I didn't even know you could put Probe Launcher on a Rifter.
You could put it on anything. I got a Rifter from the combat training set.
Ah.
At the end of that, you get a Rifter. That's why I needed number 4 too.
Presumably, you'll get a Merlin or a Tristan or an Incursors.
Presumably, if you were dumb enough not to be trying to get the free Rifter.
Yeah, I suppose.
Because Rifter is the best ship ever made.
Merlins aren't that bad, I'm sure.
They're slow. They're sluggish. They're slow, and they use missiles.
Yeah, but all ships are slow compared to a Rifter.
I can't remember.
Anyway.
Yeah, I put an overdrive on my Rifter. admittedly, I'm only 24 hours in, and it's now currently skill training up some of the other bits, but I'm enjoying it, I'm having fun.
It seems counterintuitive, because that's time you're not using to train. Well, you've got multiple accounts.
This is another account.
But it's basically, one of the things with Eve is there's generally, the only reason you need an alt is to escape your own reputation, because you never have to unlearn anything to learn something else. So why would you be playing a newbie instead of your brand new character? Your main character, rather.
There's a certain baggage about having a character who's been playing since start.
Mm-hmm. 90 million skill points. You can do everything excellently.
Yeah.
But perhaps too excellently. And certainly I find with my main, you know, doing Agent 1 combat missions in pretty much anything, really, is no challenge at all, because you've got fives all across the board.
I don't find Agent 4's challenging.
Yeah, I do. I find them quite scary, and I don't do them. But that's mostly because I really don't want to put the time in to grind out enough money to buy another battleship if I get it wrong. Laziness, I suppose.
No, it's just liberating and seeing from the... And it's a challenge, you know, can I make enough money to support myself? I didn't bung myself any money.
Yeah.
And so far, money is not a problem.
I think some people,
money's never going to be a problem.
When some people make alts, they will do it like that. They will deliberately not hand themselves any payouts from the big daddy character.
Yeah.
They'll try and bootstrap themselves up, because the new sections of an MMO can be quite fascinating in their own right. The unknown, and yeah, you may have done it before, gone through it before, but you'll find that it's the challenge of making the best of what you've got.
Yeah. And I got to hang out on rookie help for a while.
Oh, God, right. What was that like?
There was an awful lot of people in there insisting that Concord was broken.
Concord is broken?
Yeah.
In what fashion?
Various reasons. One, that they weren't powerful enough. Some, that they were impossible to beat.
Both too powerful and not powerful enough,
Yeah. A lot of people have assumptions when they come into this game.
Ah, right.
And there was the ISD guy there in there just saying, Concord cheats and block camps.
Yeah, I'd have to admire CCP's attitude towards that kind of thing. Yeah, it's overpowered. We don't care. Get on with it.
Yeah. Cheats for a reason. He didn't cheat to start with.
No.
Then Moo came along.
Oh, no, I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know how far I'm going to take this. I use a
delete it, rinse and repeat until you get bored of the whole concept.
I
don't know.
I used a 60-day time code, which I got with my box.
Okay.
When I bought the box set.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when they released that recently. Mm. Last year, year before, whenever
that's
it was.
That's right. The Eve box on the shelves again. Yeah.
Yeah. So I got 60 days to decide what to do. I might take this up as a proper character and use it as a pirating character or something.
Oh, pirate-y.
Yeah. Because my main corpse apparently got sovereignty in 0.0 now.
Hmm.
Don't know when that happened.
Do you find yourself a bit disenfranchised, or because I'd have thought you'd have been all over that news your corpse got their own base in Nortnort.
Yeah, I need to move out there and get out there, but I haven't played for so long. I'm a little bit concerned about just jumping out into 0.0 and then fighting.
I'd recommend the Agony Unleashed PvP basic course. It was very good. I think you'll learn a lot.
I was also sort of thinking of sneaking into EVE Uni to see what they do.
Oh, right, yeah.
Because, you know, you can't get in there as an experienced character, I don't think.
Ah.
So, yeah, just have a look in there and do a sneaky review of them.
Yeah. I think the key to that plan is secrecy.
Yeah.
Yeah, not broadcasting it on a podcast.
They don't listen.
No one listens.
I haven't uploaded them for weeks.
Ah, what?
So I'm actually enjoying EVE.
Brilliant. Right, yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm probably going to write a couple of blog posts on my experiences, I think.
Blogging, I remember that.
Yeah. And also, I was going to do something, but I needed the information out of the API, and it doesn't seem to want to give it to me for 72 hours to stop spammers, because it doesn't let you have a forum login, which gives you to your API section on the site as well.
So you can't get any other feedback stuff until you've been around for a bit. That seems reasonable.
Oh, it does. It's just a bit annoying when I'm obviously reputable.
Clearly.
Clearly.
Hmm.
Don't they know it's me? Oh, yes. No, they don't.
So what else have you been playing? Over to the consoles, I guess. Are we going to talk about Heavy Rain?
We will. We'll talk about Heavy Rain in a bit.
I'm looking forward to that.
I completed two games this
time. Way! How's that put you on your percentage?
I haven't updated the percentages, and one of them was a PS3 game anyway.
Which doesn't count, right?
Yeah, so it got done.
So you're basically more or less holding even then, I suppose.
Yeah, I think I'm holding even at the moment. I need to
know how many releases there have been in the last few weeks.
But these were two full-price proper games as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we'll go back through my list of games and see what I've been playing. Let me see. Tropico 3. Continuing to play that. And not as Shuttler suggested, because I want to take over the Isle of Wight.
I hope there's an Isle of Wight expansion for Tropico 3. That'd be awesome.
That would actually. They should consider it. then there's that game which I completed, which I'll talk about after this lot. Borderlands. Oh, yes, right. the latest DLC for Borderlands got released.
Apparently you had a bit of a get-together and playthrough during the week.
We didn't quite get as far as Borderlands, because somebody had forgotten to buy it and download it, and it's over a gig.
Right.
So in that
organisation, man.
Yeah, so in that we played Left 4 Dead 2 instead.
Oh, okay.
Which, yeah, it's brilliant. I love this.
Yeah, from everything I've never played either of them, but from everything I hear about it, it's all about the co-op. The single player's not that great.
It's a mediocre single player game, but it comes alive with the multiplayer. I don't really have a lot to add that other people haven't already added to that.
Mm.
The Borderlands thing, I'm playing it as a level 50 on my second playthrough, and boy, is it hard. It's incredibly hard. I'm fighting my way through. And yeah,
is this the normal Borderlands, or this all expansion stuff?
It's expansion.
Ah, right.
Yeah, oh no, I was going through the level, the second playthrough, normal stuff, until I got to level 50, fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, then I got to the out to the armory of Led Zeppelin, or whoever it is.
General Knox, isn't it?
Yeah, everyone's just so powerful. Everyone's level 51 and kills me instantly.
And you can't get any higher level.
I will once I kill some more people.
Oh, I see. This goes up further then.
Oh, they've added more levels.
Oh, yeah.
They've added 61 levels. Mm. Not 61. They've added up to 61.
Is it because you're probably using a really good gun that you got around level 30 and haven't seen a better one since? Because that happened to me a lot as I was playing through.
I could do with a better gun, I think, as well.
Seems very arbitrary, that loot table. It's like random numbers all the way.
Yeah. Do I put any guns in the bank? I might put some guns in the bank. I should go check that. The bank was in the last DLC.
Right.
Yeah, it's very good. It seems very big.
Good value for money on the entrance fee?
I think so far.
Ah, good.
But then again, I haven't finished it yet because I'm getting completely bogged down by being killed.
It tends to get very expensive if you die a lot as well. You end up with no money.
Oh, I've got right. millions.
Ah, fair enough.
Yeah, I've got millions upon millions. I played... because I've been buying cheap games off Amazon.
Oh, yeah.
I played Viva Pinata Party Animals.
Right. An in-depth natural history documentary style
it's
game.
It's not as good as the first one.
No,
it's right. a series of party games.
The
first one was brilliant. The first one is a strategy game par excellence with a really harsh undertone for the kids to realise about the cycle of life.
Yeah, yeah. You raise your animals, you care for them, you let them grow big and strong, and then you beat them open with a baseball bat and eat the sweets inside.
Sort of.
Mm, quite harsh.
Yes.
No, really, who thought of piñatas? That's horrific. Now I think about it.
I think it was the Mexicans.
Small children beating animals into such a pulp that the innards spill out and you eat them as their sweets.
It'd be an old Spanish tradition or something.
I don't know. Is that similar to the throwing donkeys off churches thing?
Probably.
Mm, maybe.
And the bull running. And
yeah.
Yeah, actually.
It's a cultural thing, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Mm. Anyway, so party games.
Yes. They're mainly pretty rubbish. There's a bad Mario clone. There's a bunch of button mashing rubbish.
I think we're finding a reason for it being very, very cheap on Amazon.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. So, no recommendation there, though.
No, definitely not. I'm not even sure kids would enjoy it. If you want to play it, the best bit is the Mario Kart clone. May I recommend Mario Kart?
Yes, yes, or any number of other clones that focus more on the Mario Kart game.
Yeah.
Exclusive.
Yeah. They need to make a third Viva Pinata game, because the first one was very, very good.
Yes. And you think there's mileage in the franchise?
Yes,
then? It hasn't just sold out.
They need to continue it as the strategy... the husbandry game.
Yeah. Develop it up as a full global empire management.
Oh, that'd be
4X
brilliant.
Game. Yeah, build, explore.
If anyone from Rare is listening, do that.
Viva Pinatas in space.
Yep. Let me see what else. Darwinia Plus, played that a bit more. Don't have anything to add over last time, except for the fact the multiplayer really, really sucks.
Does it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's disappointing.
It tends to be.
Does it get a bit zergy?
It is all zergy.
I suppose you've only got one sort of unit anyway, really. I can't imagine those armours are much use.
You're just sending the Darwinians.
Oh, right. You just send a big flag and point it across.
Yeah.
And make sure they've all got guns.
Yeah, yeah. I wasn't impressed at all, really. I will keep playing until I find it fun.
Yeah, that's how it multiplayer for its own sake, I suppose, but... that's the underlying concept doesn't
work too
well.
I can see what they were trying to do, but...
Because during the single-player campaign, there's basically a couple of maps to the end where you are versus a big tribe of red Darwinians.
Yeah.
And those are some of the most challenging ones in the whole series, but it just doesn't seem to work as a core multiplayer gameplay thing.
Not at the moment, no. It may be that some of the other game types do, but I'm not convinced.
Yeah, it's just a shame.
Next, we've actually got a PC game again.
Oh, hello.
Tinker. Now, Tinker is available for free on the PC if you go through Games for Windows Live Marketplace.
Okay.
Now,
ew.
I understand that this is a really harsh thing to do, because this was my first experience with Games for Windows Live Marketplace.
Oh, God.
And Games for Windows Live is bad enough.
It's
the Marketplace
not great.
Is awful.
My only experience with Games for Windows Live is Fallout 3, and I just love the way the entire game locks up and has a seizure anytime you push the home button to bring up the thing.
Yeah. Well, yes, I started the thing up. A couple of false starts to get it to actually use my login.
Yeah.
And the game itself is a puzzle game.
Ooh, I had a Hotmail login I made about 4 years ago. I wonder what that was.
Well, no, it's the same as my Xbox login.
Oh,
it's just that I thought I was all signed in and using it. I had bought... I downloaded the free game using it while signed in as this. Then I started the game and it wasn't signed in as me when the game started. It was, yeah.
Oh dear.
It's rubbish. Games Windows Live needs to die.
No, we're all supposed to be part of one big happy Microsoft family.
Yeah.
Crossing the divide between PC and Xbox.
It needs to die.
Fair enough. Can't argue with that, really.
Yeah, it's a puzzle game. You're a robot. You have X number of moves on a grid, and you have to flick switches, push stuff, move around, get from A to B.
Yeah.
And
sounds simple.
It's quite good, actually. It's quite interestingly cerebral, and you will actually have to think about the puzzles.
Yeah.
So it's quite enjoyable.
So a good solid puzzle game. Though.
And it's free.
It's free.
Yeah. And it has achievements in it.
We recommend
really
braving Windows Live.
Yes. I recommend inflicting Windows Live on yourself to play that.
Oh dear. It's got to be good then, yeah.
Well, it's okay.
What else we got?
Next, we have... Blah, blah, blah. Oh, Toy Soldiers. Toy Soldiers was the Xbox Live Arcade game that released this week, and the game which has given me my wonderful gas mask in on my avatar.
It's all about the freebies.
Have you seen my gas mask?
I've seen your gas mask, yes.
Yes.
Rather disturbing.
I know, it looks like a GIMP mask.
Yeah, it's not the sort of thing I'd want to put on my Xbox avatar, frankly.
I'm not entirely sure they thought this one through. Anyway, what it is a World War One toy soldier game.
Right.
Do you remember, this is a leading question because I know you do,
yeah.
FX Dogfighter.
Yes.
It's like that.
Brilliant game. Probably one of the best games ever.
It's like that, but with a lot worse flying.
Ah, right. That was because it's got the vehicles and things as well, then.
No.
Tanks.
What it is, basically, is it's a tower defense game.
Uh-huh.
Which you can sometimes fly a plane as well.
A lot of people love those, but I don't know. Never really quite connects with me, the old tower defense thing.
That they are...
It's an elegant concept and generally executed very well, very clever, but I don't know, it just didn't really do it for me.
No, they're fun. I didn't like them until I started playing them. But this is a tower defense game in 3D.
Yeah.
Where you're placing down World War One toys.
Yeah.
To deal with the onslaught of other World War One toys.
Uh-huh.
And you can take over your guns and stuff in first person mode, or your plane, and basically play it first person if you want as well.
Right.
Which is handy for when the AI is too stupid to shoot the tank because it's too close to your artillery, and it is a really, really big tank parked in front of your artillery. You're not going to miss.
So, not without its problems, then, by the sounds of it.
No, it's good. Every game has its problems. This is that. It's really, really good, actually. It's got a brilliant atmosphere. It's really fun. Mm. And I'm having a tremendous time playing it.
Okay, where do we get that? Is that an Xbox Live Arcade?
It's an Xbox Live Arcade game, and it's part of their house party, or block party, if you're in America and weird.
House party, what a hideous term. I'm just thinking Noel Edmonds now. Thanks.
Well, that's the thing.
Let's have a house party.
In America it's called block party.
Yeah.
Over here it's called house party. Not think that house party is not the same thing as a block party.
No, because a block may contain a number of houses.
Exactly. It's a street party. And this bugs me.
Street party, yes. Like what we had at the end of World War II.
Yeah, and haven't had since, because it's a weird thing.
Because it's stupid. And also it rains too much.
Yeah, it rains too much. Or like now, it's incredibly cold.
Right, so they got a demo of that? Or
yes, every Xbox Live Arcade game has a free demo.
Excellent, go get out there and have a look.
Yes, definitely. Mm. And if you buy every game you get, over March, if you buy the 3 paid games and the free download for the game room, you get 400 points back and a month, I think, of Xbox Gold for free.
Oh, that sounds good. Get a little bit back.
Yep. Although, whether or not all 3 games are going to be worth it is another matter.
Yeah.
One of them's Perfect Dark, though, so it's maybe, if you like Perfect Dark.
I don't even know what that is. You're looking at me funny again. Look, yeah. I don't get out a lot.
It's the game they made after GoldenEye.
Oh, yes. Was that a very early Xbox 360?
No, it was a Nintendo thing.
No?
I know you've played it, because we were at a party
Perfect Dark
back...
Zero? I don't know.
No, GoldenEye.
GoldenEye. I mean, I know GoldenEye. Yeah, yeah. Yes. That was very good.
Perfect
N64.
Dark. Yeah, Perfect Dark, I think, was an Xbox game. Yeah. Yes. I seem to remember we played GoldenEye once at a party.
Yeah, yeah. Four-player split screen. God, that was confusing.
Yeah.
My brain can't process 4 images at once.
That was a long time ago. Is that the party that somebody got really, really drunk and there was the plastic bag?
I'm not going to open this can of worms, because there are a number of bad memories about yourself that I have of that party, so I'm not going to embarrass you in front of all your cool listeners.
Oh, that's a good point, yeah. I was a wild child.
Technically, yes.
Right.
Find another game to talk about.
Yes, and right, that leads me to the 2 games that I've actually completed.
Mm.
First off,
yeah.
Actually, at least 3 games, because I forgot the game I started playing yesterday.
Yeah.
Battlefield 2.
Battlefield 2.
Bad Company 2.
Bad Company. Right, okay.
Yes.
Completed that, have you?
No, only just came out. Oh, but I only started playing it yesterday because it only came out this week. Oh, no, there's another one. I forgot all the other games I've played as well. This is planning.
Look, see, look, you've got this bloody great website that tells you in meticulous detail
which
what your Xbox was doing.
Hasn't updated since yesterday.
And you still don't know what you were playing. I have to do this off the top of my head. I wasn't even thinking about the show about half an hour ago until I got here, but no.
But that's why you've forgotten you were playing Barbie Horse Adventures.
Well, that could be psychological trauma. I don't know.
Anyway, Battlefield Bad Company 2.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm not sure I like this. The graphics are really, really, really jagged.
Jagged?
Yeah, it's all really low res and rubbishy.
Ooh. What platform is that supposed
that's
to be
on? That's on the 360.
Is it meant to be jagged?
It is.
Does it not have a full-screen anti-alias mode?
No, it's because it's on a console. The interesting thing about Bad Company 2 is it actually sold more on the PC than the consoles combined.
So this is a PC game that's been shoddily ported to the 360, you think? No,
it's just the PC game. It looks so much better.
Oh.
See, that's something which I've noticed recently.
Yeah.
Well, and
PC games are starting to pull ahead of consoles.
No, I mentioned it last week.
Yeah,
but yeah.
We talked about this.
Dragon Age,
mm-hmm.
Bad Company, lots and lots and lots of games,
yeah.
Just Cause 2, all these. PC games are pulling ahead this year, definitely.
Yeah.
I reckon.
Encouraging.
I really am at the point now where I think that the console cycle's too long and they can't afford to go 10 years. Because the Xbox and the PS3 can't keep up.
Is that the case across the board, though, or is this sloppy implementation?
No, it's just the PCs are pulling ahead too much. Mm. There's no way that these consoles can keep up.
Buy more PC hardware. I'm so tired.
It took me 3 attempts to get my PC to boot this morning, and it's only a year old.
Yeah.
It's possibly because I dropped cheese in it.
My PC's unusable for about 10 minutes after I've played Lord of the Rings online for a night. There's some crazy memory leak in there. It just sits there, no clicks, nothing, little whirly pointer.
Somebody needs to make a console PC, which is a PC with a sealed box, which you can't fiddle with,
yeah.
And it actually goes out of the way to stop you fiddling, because, be honest, most of the problems come from fiddling.
Mm.
As much as we like to say we like choice, when we fiddle, it breaks.
No fiddling.
Yeah.
Stop fiddling. It's bad for the industry.
And they can just sell new replacement modules, which is the graphics card.
Well, I had a big idea about Bluetooth plug-in cards that you don't plug in. You just have your graphics card and you put it on the desk near the PC and it works like that.
I have some ideas about bandwidth.
I'm not a technical person, no. Go on then, get on with it. What other games you got?
Yeah. Bad Company 2. Single player's quite good. The plot's enjoyable, and it's got lots of guns to fire, and the plot makes a hell of a lot more sense than Modern Warfare 2's did.
Yeah. So it's a bit less arthousey and a bit more game. Yeah.
It's a little less stuck up its own arse.
Well, jolly good.
But
we're talking sort of contemporary squad-based first-person shooter.
Contemporary squad-based first-person shooter. So it's you and 3 dummy AIs.
So the basic format's not going to be surprising to anyone, but
there are very
like
few surprises in this game.
Well,
so
a lot of people like more of this kind of thing. So
it's got a nice collectible weapon system, where whenever you pick up a weapon, it ticks off that you've got it, and a little wobbly one comes at the top of your screen.
Ah.
And then from then on, whenever you find a supply drop in a mission, you can swap out your weapons with anyone you found previously, which is a really
nice...
A
bit of customization there.
Well, it just means if you've screwed up a bit and you go back to your checkpoint, you can grab the sniper rifle if you want.
Ah, handy, yeah.
The AI has a habit of running in front of my line of fire.
Down in front. I get that a lot in DDO.
Yeah.
Luckily, but it doesn't hurt them.
In the next game, I'm going to mention that happened quite a lot too. And I played the multiplayer.
All right.
Now,
online with strangers or
online,
with carefully chosen
online with
strangers.
Now, I'm not the world's best first-person shooter.
Here we go.
I'm not the world's most enthusiastic online first-person shooter.
Right.
Because they tend to be harsh.
Yeah. So how harsh was this?
It was relatively.
So they send you to bed crying.
It was the second harshest first-person shooter experience I've had this month. But by the time I finished it, finished the first game I played of it, I looked at the 111 XP I'd managed to eke out because I was being headshot all the time by bastards with sniper rifles or any other gun they had who happened to be able to hit my head
without
any
effort.
Yeah. And looking at the out of whatever, the level one, I thought, screw that XP grind, and logged out and never to play it on multiplayer again. Now,
and here I think we have the fundamental crux of why a PvP only MMO is a bad idea.
Now, The issue I have is, yes, I am not unique.
No.
An awful lot of people would have looked at that Monty Python and seen that progress bar, which was so massive to get to level one, to start getting some of your upgrades, and thought, screw this, this is going to take me years to do, and give up.
You've got to be somewhat insensitive to it all, or at least somewhat masochistic to progress through. I don't know, perhaps you think that, perhaps people think that getting to level two will make everything even more awesome, and then they can kick downwards on other people.
It seems like a game design issue to me.
It seems like not worth the bother. No,
it makes it if anyone come into these games which aren't brilliant at them, it just says, no, look, don't bother, you're not going to be good enough.
Yeah, go away, noob.
Yeah,
maybe that's what they want.
I think that's a bad thing. So yeah, it's a good game, but
don't bother going online unless you're some kind of crazy hyper tartrazine pumped.
I wouldn't go that far. So if you're competent at first-person shooters, go online.
Then you're not competent.
No.
Right,
no.
At all. Yeah, it's all relative.
Talking of that, I also played Mag.
Mag. Oh, bloody hell. Here we go. This is our big 256-person online Sony PlayStation 3 shooter.
I figured out why Mag exists.
Yes?
It's to put 255 people into a game who all annoy me.
Well, let's face it, this was never going to end well, was it? I remember seeing you flailing about at Eurogame. Come here, let me have a go, he says to me, and after I've been headshot three or four times. He sits down, has a go, he gets headshot three or four times, yeah.
It's very harsh.
Yes.
The stupid AI keeps running in front of me.
It has AI? Why does it need AI with that many people?
There I am, lining
people
up a
are
shot,
stupid
boom,
AI.
Just run in front of me. I've been shooting constantly at this guy, trying to keep him suppressed, you idiot. You ran in front of me. What did you expect was going to happen? Of course I shot you.
And of course you said all this on voice to them.
No,
so they
nobody's on voice
on
it.
You just sat there and fumed silently and then
As far as I can tell, no one's on voice.
What? How is that even possible? How can you possibly play that kind of hectic, dense...
PS3 doesn't come with a headset. Most people don't have a headset for it.
Oh, God. So, you'd have to have a PC running with Mumble on it
something? Well, no, it's got the support if you have a headset.
Oh.
So, if you link a Bluetooth headset,
whatever. You've got to go out of your way to go and buy your own.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose dedicated clans and whatnot will have that kind of
thing. The people I was playing with were not dedicated.
No.
But they were numpties.
They were all randoms.
They were all hired by people who hate me to annoy me.
Clearly some sort of conspiracy, yes.
Definitely some sort of conspiracy.
So, it doesn't have a single player mode, does it?
No.
Not at all. No.
Not at all. There's training.
So, that's a bit of a useless game then for you, then?
No.
You've got to knuckle down and persevere.
I'm going to knuckle down and get good at these games.
Absolutely.
If it kills me, or kills everyone else.
We need you owning noobs. We need you dominating the battlefield. I think there's a matter of pride for the show, frankly.
I think so, yes.
It's not going to be me.
Yeah, so I am going to get better at these games. I'm not going to complain so much, and I'm going to hunt down and kill everyone I play against in real life.
Right.
Yes, so anyway, the two games I have completed.
Yes.
The two games which didn't... Actually, no, they both really did annoy me. First of all...
Somebody's forgotten what game means, really, haven't they?
Have they?
An activity carried out for recreation and amusement? No.
Oh.
No, never mind.
Bollocks.
Get on with it. What have we got?
Right, The Wheelman.
I
finished it.
Oh, right, yeah. We were talking
end
about
titles.
That a bit before.
It is the only end title system I've ever seen. The end titles contain copyright credits for the architects who made the buildings, who they put in, who are in real life.
Wow.
So the real buildings around Barcelona had architect credits for them.
Blimey. I don't think I've ever heard or seen of that.
And the ones they couldn't track down the architect for, they said, we don't know who this is, and listed it anyway.
Oh, God. So we start getting into a state where, presumably they wouldn't have done that unless they felt it was necessary some fashion.
I believe they may have been showing off.
It's not just shout-outs.
They could have been showing off.
I suppose.
God. But I appreciate the effort.
And you're possibly the only person in the world who's ever actually read that, too, I'd imagine.
No, according to True Achievements, there's a couple of other people who have.
Does it give you an achievement for sitting all the way through the credits?
No, it gives you an achievement for completing the game, but the achievement doesn't pop till after the credits, but then again... Actually, no, I may be the only one who actually...
Start,
I may be
that,
the only one who bothered watching
it. They should do that.
It
should give you 50G for completing the game and then another 5 for sitting there and reading your way all the way through to the end of the credits.
Explosion Man, I think it was, gave you an achievement for watching the credits and it was a stupid thing.
I do watch credits, actually, because they tend to have Easter eggs these days. I mean, the Jade Empire ones were great. It was like interviews with the cast.
There would either be Easter eggs or just some interesting bit of nonsense like credits for the buildings. It's worth it.
Yeah. And by the time you've got there, you've just gone through a 15-minute insane hectic boss fight and could probably do with a bit of a relax. Anyway.
I'd gone through a hectic car drive at that stage.
Oh, right.
Which ended up with me using a car to take out a boat.
Brilliant.
It was a sort of aim you couldn't do if it wasn't a cutscene. I know. Now,
yes,
the game is rubbish.
Is it?
It should be made clear the game is absolute tosh. The game is also insanely fun.
You said you said it had interesting bits and pieces last time.
The mechanics and everything.
Car combat moves thing.
I enjoyed it immensely, and I've been playing it almost constantly. BioShock 2 to play. I've not played
BioShock
that yet.
2 instead of you because played
I was
the
playing Wheelman. It's because my brain is punishing me.
Well, either you hate yourself, or it's actually quite a good game, by your own subjective standards. Otherwise, you wouldn't have bothered.
It was fun, and I enjoyed myself. And yes, I played that game because it was fun.
There we go. Quirky recommendation then from the Ben Himmelot podcast. Yes. We think The Wheelman's great, but no one else probably will.
If you like Vin Diesel films, you will like it. I watched a bit of Fast and the Furious when I got in the other day.
Oh, yeah. Very similar, is it?
Yeah, it makes just a less sense as that.
Ah. So what was the other thing you completed?
Heavy Rain.
Oh, yes, we get to talk about this now. I was watching a considerable amount of this, you playing this last week, only it was not a What We're Playing show last week, so we didn't go on to then rant about it, but it was fantastic. It was absolutely absurd. I think I just particularly enjoyed, it's basically, well, let's be brutally frank here about it. It is essentially a 3-hour QuickTime event, isn't it?
Technically, yes.
Yes. Is it 3 hours? How long did it take you?
About ten.
But fair enough. It's a game that's conducted largely by pressing combinations of buttons when it pops the thing up on the screen, which is the technical definition of QuickTime event.
But to be fair on it,
yes,
it's taken the QuickTime system and shown every other game how the QuickTime system isn't annoying and how it should be done.
Yeah.
And if you go back to play any game with QuickTime events after it, they are so much worse now.
It takes it to a sort of a whole new fantastic and bizarre extreme, certainly. I mean, it's not just press X not to die.
There are certain things about it. A, if you fail a quick time event, you don't fail the game and go back to a restart. Also, it puts them on screen where the action is associated with to give you an idea of what they do.
Yeah, if you're trying to find something in a pocket, the shape will appear over a number of different pockets.
It uses them for choices.
Yeah.
So if you've got two things to do, it gives you a choice, two things up on screen. And
there's not a lot in the way of what you'd call traditional gaming skills. Yes, you move your character around with the stick, but it's not running,
using the
jumping.
World's worst control system.
Yeah, I had trouble with it. It's
absolutely awful. There was no need for it to be that bad, the control system. For moving around.
Yeah.
All it does is make you, when you walk around, look really, really stupidly animated.
Bumping into cupboards and things in the middle of interviews and whatnot.
Get on the other side of the table. I'm trying!
Okay, so the basic premise then, for anyone who doesn't know about it, it's a murder mystery suspense thriller thing?
It's a suspense thriller. Mm-hmm. It's not really a murder mystery.
Right.
As we would accept it.
Mm.
Basically, it's four characters with intertwining stories.
Yeah.
Trying to track down the origami killer and this kidnapped kid who is drowning to death somewhere. And when the rain comes down enough to drown him, he's dead.
Yeah, and as scenes play through, you get little updates of how much.
You've got 6 inches of rain before he drowns.
Yeah, hence the heavy rain of the title.
Now, it's incredibly difficult game to talk about without spoiling the plot.
Yeah, let's just be a bit circumspect if we can.
I hope you never plan on playing it.
You just stop listening now.
that would be really mean.
That's harsh. It was Rosebud all along. Yeah.
Okay, right. Now, the game can only really be judged on two things. The control methods and the story.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, it sells itself as this big... almost defying the genre interactive movie or whatever. And I found just sort of, I don't know, getting away from anything else you might have discovered about it, when I was sat here just watching you playing with it for about an hour, I think we said, you were going through it, and I was just, it seemed like I was enjoying it a lot more than you were. it's one of those games that is actually quite interesting to watch other people play.
It is the first game which I think we can really have the story conversation about. It was the first game where the story is everything and you really feel like it is vitally important to the game. There's none of the other bollocks mechanics. It's not a driving game, it's not a shooting game.
I mean,
it is a story game.
Clearly you look at it and it's obviously not a movie, it's a computer game because it's computer graphics, but I mean it becomes difficult to, I don't know, but it does blur the lines a bit. It very much plays out like watching a film, especially if you're not actually the man with the controller.
And the game lives or dies by its plot. Nothing else. All of the control issues, they don't matter at all. The fact that when you walk, you're holding the trigger to move and then steering, and the stupidness of the way it makes you walk doesn't matter, really, in the long grand scheme of things. It's just the plot that matters.
Mind you, the controls weren't without fault. I mean, I noticed some points where it was making you press 5 different buttons at once.
I was using my tongue.
That was unsettling.
Yeah.
But then I wonder, were those particular sequences, generally moments of extreme dramatic peril or intensity, was that meant to be fraught?
Yes, was it was meant to be fraught. Difficult? And some of them you are meant to fail. They're not meant to be
doable. They're not possible, but you're desperately trying because of what's going on
your character on screen is trying but is going to fail, but it has to try anyway.
Yeah, and you have to try and give it a go with the buttons as best you can.
I don't have any complaint, really, about the use of these quick time events constantly. I think it does actually work.
It is basically
and
what the game is.
It only works because they're there constantly. If they just came in for the action scenes...
Yeah, if it was a sudden little mini game thrown in every now and then, it probably would get quite annoying. But since you're, I suppose, prepared for it and working on the assumption that you will have to do this all the way through, it doesn't become quite such a jarring thing.
The game completely flows because of it. And you do feel... Okay, occasionally you might be doing really mundane stuff like shaving and whatnot. And there was an awful lot of going to the toilet. apart from that, it works as a game.
Unless you're having difficulty because you weren't familiar with which one the triangle was.
No, it's not that I don't have this knowledge of which one the triangle is. I have this weird form of controller dyslexia, which means the moment I get a quick time event, I forget no matter what controller it is.
perhaps a little too used to an Xbox 360 controller?
No, it happens on the 360 as well. Fair enough. Just any console I use, I will forget what's what and I will have to look.
Oh, right. Fair enough.
Yes, it's a bizarre mental thing that I have.
You got a lot of notes here about it.
I do indeed. To start with, the first bit is this really protracted, overly long tutorial section where they're teaching you to play the game.
Yeah.
Which is overly long and really, really boring.
And I'm not sure, really, if it... I had a go. I sort of jumped in halfway through on a bit, and it
Which
was,
bit did you jump in
I
on?
I can't remember now. Was it... Was that the demo? I don't know. It was where the private detective was...
No, that's later on.
Yeah, I don't know. There was private detective...
The tutorial is... an asthma attack. You wake up, you have to shave, get ready, go down, do a bit of architectural drawing, your family gets back, lay the... table for dinner, go out, play with your kids, come back, and it is overly long, and an awful lot of people are going to say, God, this is the most boring game in The Sims ever, and give up. And for that reason,
that'd be a shame,
I think that the intro bit is an utter failure in the game, because it is going to make people walk away from it.
If you don't seem to get going quite quickly. I mean, when I picked it up and had a quick go, I felt quite fraught about it. I quite a little bit bewildered, a little bit fraught, and I thought, oh, is this supposed to be how I'm supposed to feel? Is it meant to be putting me on the spot quite so hectically?
The bit you were playing, because it was mainly a big fight scene.
Suddenly I'm in this fight, and the thing's flashing up quite quickly, and me missing all the time. And very, very dramatic as a player, let alone what's going on the screen.
The story is, I would say, more of a book than a movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely not... You couldn't really compare it to, say, a two-hour film.
So what, less? It's not as pacey?
It's not as snappy. The story's quite flabby, you would say.
Yeah, lots of introspective
and
moments.
Slow.
Lots of slow areas.
I'd say possibly too flabby. It doesn't quite move along at the pace you would like, and...
Perhaps some of that's compromised to get gameplay elements in?
No, I don't think so. I think there's... There are issues with the story. The end reveal as to who the killer is makes no sense. They say it's this big, it's this big twist. No, it's not. It's complete. They made up the fact that it was this person late in the game when the rest of the stuff had been put in place. That's the only reason I can think to explain
it. Started working on the story without knowing who had done it.
Quite possibly, because otherwise there aren't
actions. Do you think possibly there's things you missed?
Possibly. Well, that's another problem with the story. You can never know going through that you got it all. I got to the end, it didn't make any sense.
Because the branching had broken down? Well,
if it was just my playthrough the way it didn't make sense, then that's the game failing again. Because you can't assume...
It still needs to tie together,
You can't assume somebody's going to play this game and get all 22 endings or whatever.
Yeah.
You have to assume that the first playthrough is the only playthrough, and... Yeah, okay. And the other thing that annoyed me was I wasn't entirely clear why I screwed up, and I'm not sure why the kid died.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so so the spoiler there, you got it wrong somewhere.
That's
along
not
the
a spoiler.
Line. It could happen, yeah, exactly. Depends how you play.
It is a branching game. You can save the kid or you can not save the kid.
Yeah, and you
somehow. You can catch the killer or you can not catch the killer.
I remember watching
and
you
everyone
doing,
else can die.
I remember watching you doing a number of quite dramatic fight scenes and losing.
Yeah.
And I couldn't immediately tell if that had meant the game had been lost or won. It sort of then carries on.
Well, the one you saw was a fight scene between the FBI guy and. This big guy. And yes, that fight was waning, and I was winning bit, I was losing a bit, I was winning a bit, I was losing a bit, and in the end, yeah. I lost and died.
But, we don't know why.
But no, the thing is, out of every 99, well, probably out of every 1,000 actions you do, only one of them means something.
Yeah, I think it does throw in a lot of sort of misdirecting button presses.
It's mainly an illusion of choice in the game.
Yeah.
There's only branches at specific points, and your actions all the way through, most of them don't matter.
But it's not very apparent which ones do and which ones don't, which I suppose might be good or bad. I honestly couldn't tell you.
That's a good question, isn't
it? Yeah, yeah. The illusion of involvement, or do you want it laid bare and actually know there's only 4 choices that mean anything?
If we were going to... I said that it's more of a book than a film, but another thing it could be compared with, and would possibly have done better if it had been, would be a TV series. Now, that opens up the obvious comparison.
Screenplay, effectively.
It opens up the obvious comparison with Dexter.
I have not seen Dexter.
Which is a TV show about a serial killer.
Right.
And...
So it's somewhat inspirational for this, you think?
No, not at all. It doesn't even become, the story doesn't even come close to as being as good as Dexter. Even the emotional, the big emotional events in this don't come close to the big emotional events in Dexter. Somewhere along the line, they haven't quite made that leap and managed to make it as good as good TV.
Is some of this uncanny valley with the character models? That
there's
sort of
an awful lot of uncanny valley, and actually having
they seem quite good, but
the eyes don't work.
Yeah, yeah,
and you can tell why the eyes don't work just by watch any video review of the show where it's cutting to a presenter on TV, on any of their main websites, whatever, and you will see they'll show the shots of the guys in game.
Yeah.
Staring there blank-eyed, and then they'll show the shots of the presenters talking, and you'll see exactly what happens in their eyes, which is different than what happens in game.
Can't be far off getting that kind of thing right, though.
I don't know why it wasn't better. But it really... When you're in the bits between scenes, as it were, they show the face of the guy or girl who's your character for the next one.
Oh, right, yeah, I remember that.
And they're these horrible waxwork figures, which they're obviously so proud of and think look so brilliant, but
we're
it just
use
reminds
extreme
me...
close-ups of them as our cuts, as our splash screens.
Do you remember a little while ago, there was this horrible picture of Jonathan Ross that was released when he did his Man of Two Swords thing, which was him against his... waxwork, and it was awful, and it just looked just like that. And you look at the extras on the game, because as you play through you unlock stuff, and you can see the pictures of the real people. Then if you compare them to the people in game, they all just look so,
so these
icky.
These are all modelled on real actors.
It's a proper motion capture game with lots and lots of real people acting it out,
right?
And so it puts up the actors' names in the opening sequence, for instance. It feels that strongly about it. I should really mention the motion capture. It has some really, really good motion capture, and it has some utterly, utterly dire motion capture.
But, it did seem a bit hit and miss.
But I think it said they had done 170 days of motion capture work.
They certainly put a lot of work into it.
So
it all comes together.
It can't all be brilliant, I guess. Not with that amount of effort, because you have to go back and change everything.
Was there much like a detection going on in the game?
Slightly.
Or is it all just following a Rails story? Do you have to find clues and stuff?
One character gets to detect, which uses these nifty headset.
I saw that bit,
which you find clues, and then the detecting is purely you find clues, you read clues later, you examine clues for more clues, and then you might have to make a decision based on that. It's not very strong at
all. Not that involved in the main plot, no. Because I remember we were anticipating this, we were making comparisons to the old Blade Runner game. It's yeah. not really that kind of clue-seeking.
Well, I keep being told that the old Blade Runner game isn't as good as I remember.
Fair enough.
Which is why it is there, waiting for me to install it.
Yeah.
And has been there for weeks, actually. Throughout the entire game, my biggest gripe was the fact that I just felt like I was on rails all the time. I did not feel that I had control over my character. I couldn't take the investigation how I wanted to. I was never really given a choice. And even when you think you're getting somewhere investigation-wise, your next scene's going to switch to a different character you may not care about as much, doing something else.
Yeah, so are we missing the sandbox? Is this the bit? Because there clearly is nothing of the sort.
I think that...
Would it benefit from now we can go around all these different areas in the
city? No, I don't think it would.
Type of section.
But I think that it would just benefit from not being so linear and having more branching.
Because
it does pretend that it's not linear, but it is very linear.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sort of having illusions of this big sort of crisscrossy grid and about 1,000 different endings.
It's not that at all, no.
At best, you're talking minor deviations that come back to the main plot, I suppose.
Now, I wrote that note before I realised who the killer was, so I can't read that one out. Because that is the major plot. That one's actually...
You're doing very well with the spoilers.
That's
so
the major plot point as to why the identity of the killer does not work. Walking sucks, yep. Music is repetitive.
Oh, God,
they keep playing the same goddamn
thing. Yeah, I should have spent a bit more of the budget on a decent composer.
I just wanted to kill people over that.
A bit more variety.
When you're walking around an area, it only really lets you explore how it wants you to explore.
Right.
You can change your camera angle between two angles, fine, but if you just want to wander over and look over the other side of a room or something...
I'm thinking of that bit with the electricals.
That's exactly it.
It was really, really difficult, not game difficulty, it was because of the way the camera angles and the UI interacted. It made it pretty hard work to find the way you were supposed to do it.
Yeah.
Things obscured by other things... So perhaps that could have done with a bit of work.
Oh, definitely. It just really felt...
You want that one.
You're here to there. Follow this line. Do not deviate from... in that case, that was a follow this line. Do not deviate.
Yeah.
Do not deviate from exploring the room in this way.
It's trying to walk a fine line in its own right, I suppose, between movie and game. And ultimately, if it becomes too much story, then you think, well, why do I need to bother keep pushing X every now and then?
Yep.
Why can't I just go and watch 2 hours of a film?
Here's an important one. Shelby's door had no locks on the inside. All the locks were on the outside. There was nothing on the inside.
Good nitpick.
At every stage, you wonder why not call the cops. There was at one point when I was there with Shelby in a shop, and there was a robbery going on, and I'd just beaten up the guy.
I think I was on the TV advert.
Yeah, and I beat up the guy. He's sprawling on the floor, and me and the shopkeeper have this conversation.
Yeah,
and then I walk out, and the shopkeeper sort of looked at him, thinking, oh, "Okay." And then, no point do we call the cops because there's this guy unconscious on the floor who I'd just beaten up. Who was trying to do an armed robbery, or neither did we try and wake him up and put him on his way because we didn't want him to get arrested for this.
Yeah. So perhaps doesn't think through the consequences of what's going on.
That guy woke up, grabbed the gun, shot the shopkeeper, took the money.
Yeah, well, you can't be everywhere all the time.
The game doesn't understand the difference between ironic and sarcastic.
Right. What is the difference between ironic and sarcastic?
Not what it thinks.
Good cop out. Yes, carry on.
In several points, your character knows more than you know.
So we're talking fourth wall problems.
At one point, the identity of the killer is whispered to one of the characters.
Meaning both of those characters know who it is.
Yeah, and one of them is one you're playing.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the character you're playing knows who the killer is.
Would it kill you to have one quick aside to camera?
Well, no, it would ruin it.
Yeah.
But it's just a whole... Yes, okay, I'm controlling this character, but I'm not really...
It divorces your immersion a bit.
Yeah.
Mm.
Which is a bit weird, and I didn't like that. And also there's another character knows for a while who the killer is.
Yeah.
For reasons which...
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, that's really, really weird and doesn't quite work, and I don't understand that at all.
Yeah.
See, it's really hard to talk about because The game
you're nitpicking extensively, but clearly because you care. Yeah, exactly.
And there are problems. And
it's not just a big steaming pile.
I think the story is the wrong story to tell. Also, it's all set in the French Quarter of, I think it's Philadelphia or somewhere. Because everyone's got a slight French accent. Because it's made in
France.
Spend
a bit more on the voice acting, right?
Constant space between characters is really, really jarring. One of the great things about the game is it forces you to commit to paths. If you get something wrong, you know you've gone wrong, but you can't go back. You can't just go back a save because there aren't any.
It doesn't have save games.
No, you go along and it saves as you go along, but it's only one. You can't say, right, this is my backup save for when I want to make this decision differently.
So you can stop playing and it will just start you again where you are, but you can't go back.
And so if you get something wrong, you've got to live with those consequences. Yeah, and that actually works really, really well.
That is interesting, perhaps we are too comfortable with our autosaves. No, I didn't mean it. We'll go back and try that again until we get it right. Why not make the game understand that if you get it wrong...
It's like in The Wheelman. There was a point where if you save at this exact point, there were then three achievements you can only get one of.
Yeah.
And then you can go and get all three of those.
Right.
But in this, no, you can't do that, really.
Mm-hmm.
And the last thing, it does do some things really, really well with the whole tugging at the heartstrings. There's this bit where your kid's been kidnapped.
Yeah.
And you're with the police.
Yeah.
And they ask you, what time did you get to the park? What clothes was he wearing?
Yeah.
And you suddenly realise, I have no clue.
I wasn't paying attention to that cutscene. Hang on.
Yeah. And just thinking, as a parent, was I paying attention to what was going on? And evidently not.
No.
And it just really, really got that moment of, in me. Which a game has never done before.
Yeah, it's your neglect. You the player.
Exactly.
If you'd have been paying more attention, maybe none of this would have happened.
I should have known this.
You're a monster.
I know.
Yeah.
I am a monster.
Blimey.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like a fascinating spectacle and it's quite different to anything else.
No, it's not
there.
Quite difficult to anything else.
No? Have we seen other
examples? I was chatting about it the other night and there is a whole, apparently, genre of interactive stories... in indie games.
Okay.
It's just something a bit mainstream and sort of thing you didn't expect any of the main publishers to actually make.
Certainly an experiment. Perhaps if the demand's there, perhaps we'll see refined stories.
While
better,
I was playing it,
stuff.
I spent most of my time thinking, this isn't as good as an adventure game, so I'd like to be making more choices.
Yeah, and use rubber chicken with a pulley in the middle.
I felt really constrained in it and really, really hemmed in.
You don't
in.
Have an inventory at all, do you?
No.
No,
you never pick anything up.
Mm.
There are some shooting bits, and there's another bit. There's this one bit where it's a shooting bit, and you can accidentally shoot somebody for the wrong reason, and the game makes you do it.
So much for choice. Yeah.
Well, no. The game makes you accidentally make the shot and kill them if or not. Somebody tries to pull a gun on you and you don't know if it's a gun or not. Something. And some people have shot the guy, some people haven't. And I've never seen a point in a game like that either where you've been on such high awareness of the controls that when this happens, you think, right, bang.
Yeah.
Pull the gun on the guy. And that would just... amazing.
It does sound fascinating, yeah.
But when it comes down to it, I can't replay the game.
Well, yeah, this is your problem, isn't it? If the story doesn't diverge nearly as much as it's
I can't
to
face
be.
Repeating an awful lot of that stuff, because an awful lot of it is utter bollocks. Once you know the ending, I can't go back.
Well, the ending is the payoff, isn't it? The suspense keeps you going through these crappy quick time events.
Not everyone's motive through the game is pure.
Hmm.
And when I get to the end and go back, I can't play the people who I now know their secrets influencing what they're doing. And
so basically,
suddenly their actions don't make sense anymore.
It spoils itself quite drastically on the first playthrough.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think story-wise, it didn't need to.
Mm. It could have been done more elaborately, more intelligently.
It all comes down to the identity of the killer. If the killer was somebody else...
Mm. Or if it's a different person each time or something.
Or if it'd been a different person each time.
Yeah.
It may be.
For different reasons.
Yeah.
That would be a clever way to go forward with this,
I think.
Yeah,
but I think that...
What's there?
The killer didn't need to be the person it was, and there is a list of people the killer shouldn't have been. And there's a list of people the killer could have been.
Yeah.
And I think the list of people the killer could have been is better than people that they shouldn't have been. Which will only make sense if you've played it.
So there again, we go, Heavy Rain.
I can't say.
Yeah.
Although
you should all go away and buy it and play it so that the next show we can actually talk about this.
Although
because he's going mad.
I
here.
Would like to apologise for the tweet which I did the moment I saw a clue, which actually was the clue to who the killer was. I didn't mean it.
Oh dear.
Yes. It was a famous clue from something else.
But so, yeah. Definitely enjoy it for the journey as well. Yeah. I think it was interesting. I personally haven't seen much that's quite like it in other console titles.
We're not going to
so
see
far.
It again.
It's certainly a bold experiment.
It's a bold experiment and we should see it again. But in 10 years' time, we're going to look back at this game and think, why did this never go anywhere?
Mm-hmm.
There are so many properties which this game would work for.
You crank out your next contemporary squad-based military shooter. Yeah.
You could make a very good Midsummer Murders game. No, seriously.
It sounds ridiculous, but I know what you mean. Yeah.
It suddenly opens up this whole slew of ideas which you couldn't make a game for before, but now you can, and
it's
it would work.
It's an interesting system that's perhaps not been displayed to the best of its potential, but certainly shows promise.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think, yeah, but do you think that could be it? Do you think they've spent most of this money putting the engine together?
The studio...
Is it reusable?
The studio who developed this is basically constructed... physically around having a large motion capture studio.
Right.
And I think that
so we could see more like this with not so much investment perhaps. It'd be easy to start doing other things using similar systems.
I don't know if you'd
system.
Be able to put together a library of usable stock movements and stock characters possibly which you just reskin to get their movements. Maybe not.
I think it's innovative. Perhaps I don't know enough else console gaming to know better, but I think it is different and interesting.
There's never been a console game quite like it. Even the game they did before, which I think was only on PC actually, but wasn't quite like it.
It
does so much well, but the game itself falls into its own uncanny valley. All of the graphics
invents
fall
new
definitely
problems
into it
for itself
because it's moved. It's the same. It's exactly the same with Uncharted 2. Play Uncharted 2, you start judging that on things which other games don't have to be judged on.
Yeah, because they're not even up
they
to that level.
They don't come close. And this...
A new series of
I'm criticising this game on things which I never thought I'd get to criticise a game on.
Well, quite. And that says a lot in itself.
And yeah, the plot is only as good as a bad film. But...
It's a good start.
Put a good scriptwriter on it.
Who knows what we'll see next?
Yeah.
Yeah, fascinating. So are you going to recommend this for our PS3 listening brethren?
I recommend it to everyone who doesn't even have a PS3. Why a PS3?
Worth the admission fee, even if you only do get to play through it once. Unsullied.
Yeah, play it at a friend's house if you don't have a PS3.
Watch it at a friend's house. Fascinating watching you trying to play your way through it. Hence last week's comment about your bad lap dancing skills, by the way, just in case anyone was wondering.
Yeah.
There is a lap dance scene in there, and he doesn't do it very well.
No, I did that really, really bad. I'm not very good at lap dancing, apparently.
Yeah. So is that your lot?
Oh, I guess so, yeah.
Should we do the Twitter question then?
Oh, well, I guess we could. That shouldn't take too long because you were very, very weird this week.
Oh, yes. I'm now going to explain what the hell this one was even about.
Let me just find it.
Yeah.
It was up there somewhere.
I can't believe I've forgotten it.
How could you have forgotten it? There you go.
Podcast question, red or blue?
You'll want the mouse.
What do I do with it? God. I hate driving this thing. It hasn't even got any buttons on it.
It's got a big button.
Okay, right, you're going to take some tallies here, because this is a serious question. It may seem rather flippant and perhaps a little patronising, but what I actually wanted to know here was whether I should... Well, I've been playing Eve for a few weeks now, a few months now.
Yes.
We did this, in this recent visit, I mean.
I'd like to remind you that you did actually buy it the week of release.
Yes, yes. And a very old Eve player, technically, but often absenteeism. But yes, I've been doing this. I did that PvP Agony Unleashed course. It's fantastic, and it ruined the game for me. Because it can't always be like that all the time. On the other hand, I have got a lot of other games on the go, a lot of time commitments. So what I'm looking for, really, in Eve is a way to just jump in, blow stuff up for an hour or two, and then jump out again and not have to worry about it again for another week or two. So I figured I might try and sign up with Red versus Blue, which is another Eve, well, pair of sister corporations that I'd encountered, forum posts and the like. And it sounds like they're two corporations who purely exist to be at war with each other constantly, Empire High Sec War. They seem to have quite a robust code of conduct and rules of engagement.
And love hiding their website.
Well, you can't just type WWE Red versus Blue in, or that'll go somewhere entirely different.
That takes you to Rooster Teeth.
That's it, yeah. But it seems like they try and keep it casual, try and keep it friendly. They tend to do fighting in Tech One frigates, battle cruisers and destroyers, that's the one. But then they do tend to have third-party aggressive war targets as well, so it can get more serious. It seems like an ideal sort of thing, so I might go and try and sign up. But, of course, there's two corps there, and I don't know which one to sign up for.
And you're the world's worst decision-maker.
I'm not very good with choice, no. So I've handed it all over to you. So Harry Hull answers with yes. Okay, put that down as an
one
NA.
In other.
Other. We've got Tipitastic with for the Horde, Red.
Yep.
Yeah, no, this wasn't a Warcraft question, but, well, thanks for trying. And I forgot to add the tag.
No, I got
that. All right. There's Asgard Blue, I mean Red, I mean Blue, Green. Okay, that's another in the other column.
To be fair, that is the same joke I used.
I know,
when I emailed you the link.
A lot of people came back with the Monty Python sketch there. Durbart says Blue because that's blue to colourblind people too. Ah, interesting, yes. Yeah. Yes, you've got the red-green colour blindness thing there. A lot of men get that. What's that one say?
Brian Lynn.
Blue all the way. Excellent. There's Kuris Kadachi. Red. Tried blue. Didn't work. I wonder if he knew what this was
about. I don't know. It's possible he did.
Uh-huh. I mean, you know, to be fair, I could have just flipped a coin, really, but yeah. I don't think that's quite as inclusive, you know.
This is going to be truly random.
It really is. We got DM Osborne. Red.
Yep.
Jackson 92 Red.
Of course, people are going to go for Red. Yeah.
Blue K says Blue, of course. Star Grace, Red, just because Blue K said Blue. Excellent. Buzzfrog said Blue. Harry Hole, Red shall rule and destroy the infidel Blue from the face of this earth. Oh, wait, I'm Blue. Strike that. I'm not quite sure what that.
Other.
Other, right. God, I've pushed a thing and it's gone mad. I hate this mouse. I'm going to have to insist you get a normal mouse.
How can you? It's a magic mouse.
Where did we get to?
Stop stroking it and then you won't have the problem.
Ah, it's too smooth.
It's because you're. What do you mean it's too smooth? It doesn't have any rollers, that's why.
There it's we go. Touchpad. Max Castillo says Democrat blue. Eric Joe says purple with yellow dots.
Oh, although they do have purple.
Is there a purple?
When they join together, they become purple.
Oh yeah, I think that's they have like purple alert escalations.
I'll mark it as other.
If they get attacked by big outside aggressors and things. Okie dokie, what have we got? Alathorn there. We got always red in TF2. It's easier to see blue snipers. Righto, put that down as red. We got Pez Psycho. Blue, if only to laugh at Sarge from a distance. I think that's possibly a Red versus Blue reference there. I haven't watched that in ages.
I love the way everyone is bringing everyone's to this assuming. Their own Red versus Blue.
This means different things to different people, clearly. Changeling Bob, I believe you misspelt Blue, BLU, and Blue because they get attack on payload maps. We must push little cart. I don't understand that at all.
But it's counts as a Blue.
Excellent. We got... Thermal snow, blue, but red when I'm in Vegas, because what happens to red in Vegas stays in Vegas.
That's a blue.
I don't even want to know. Okay, we got Pete Walker 74. Blue, I'm scared of rabbit holes. What?
You don't...
I have no idea.
So are we adding that to something else you don't know about? That's hardly popular culture.
Oh, here we go. Shuttler, Oh, he's asking about... unrelated question. Go on, then. We'll do this. Have you ever played the Star Wars Miniatures tabletop game? They stopped production on it. Just curious. I haven't, no.
It's a bit late now.
Well, I'm never going to.
No.
No. What about you?
No.
No. Right. Fair enough.
Star Wars. I hate Star Wars.
You spent an unreasonable amount of money on that Star Wars collectible card game. You were buying them by the trade box.
Yeah, well, That's why I hate Star Wars.
Sunk Zero, both. Why limit the possibilities?
Again, that's a vote for purple, but it goes for other.
Fair enough. Arbitrary Genius, red or dead?
Okay.
Sentak. Okay, now we're really getting bad with the whole podcast queue thing. Have you had no coffee yet? Ugh, fine, then blue. Do apologise. Perhaps I should have elaborated.
No, it takes
more.
All the fun out
well,
of it.
Well, quite, yes. It would have brought partisanship into it, yes.
For a couple of days, there was information that only we knew.
Absolutely. Well, I'd just like to reassure you, dear listener, when I ask a podcast question, I know why it's I'm asking it. I rarely ask frivolous stuff just for the hell of it.
Sometimes we have to spend all Saturday making up why he asked.
Dr. Torag says blue, but also partial to black, purple, gold, silver, white, and red in costumes, and green. We got... any more there?
There's a...
That's Jason Etheridge. No more artificial in-group, out-group division in my games. Can't we all just get along? More co-op.
I believe that's another question.
Ackley, blue on me, that means my skin did not break. Red on other people. I like to see them bleed. What can I say? I'm a bad man. Yes, and somewhat disturbing.
Is that
too.
One for each?
I don't know. I think that's possibly another, yes.
Okay.
Zona 21, why blue, of course. Soothing to the eye and with a shade to match almost any other colour I added. I added the U to show willing. Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay, yeah. That's a spelling joke.
We got Enlightened One, blue, red can't be experienced by about 5% of people. Yes.
Yes.
Second time on point about the colour blindness thing.
Yeah, and I think that's the last one.
I think that's all of them.
I
yes,
think
thank you for that.
That without looking at the votes, which yes. I just tallied up, so I
okay,
know what
I wasn't keeping count, so
I think that the colour blindness thing would be the one to tip it anyway.
Right.
Because you can't punish the reds.
If you're in a corporation, friendlies are set to blue and war targets are red.
Yeah.
So if I'm in the red one, all the blue team are going to show red on the HUD. It's going to be very confusing.
Yeah, that's true. Anyway,
what's the result?
The current results are
yes.
In third place.
Yes. Thank you, everyone.
It's other with six.
Yeah.
In second place,
yep.
Surprisingly, and yes. Not how I expected, it's red.
Oh.
With seven.
With seven. So the winner is?
Blue with 13.
13 people went for blue. Right. Well, then I shall make a note of that and attempt to apply and to join Red versus Blue's Blue Corporation.
If they'll have you.
If they'll have me, of course. Something of a presumption on my part, of course. Thank you all for that. enlightening as ever. So, what did you learn this week?
I learned that if you go to the theatre to see a one-man rendition of Lord of the Rings, Hobbit and Crescent are not going to be mentioned, despite the fact that we did all the heavy lifting. Also, I've learned that there will be at least one person there who has seen neither the film nor the book and will be completely bemused as to what the hell's going on.
Right, yeah, I wish we had more time so we could talk about that. Hopefully that after the show. Well, this week I learned that being kicked off a 1,000-foot mountaintop only does 11 points of damage. It's the lava you got to watch out for. See you next time.
Goodbye.